Good morning. I want to welcome you again to the service at Rockville Christian Church. It's our tradition on Mother's Day to honor new parents from the past year and to pray a blessing over their children. Normally, if we were gathering in person, we would invite those families to the stage. It's a little bit different this year, but it's still a very meaningful ceremony to just celebrate new life from the past year. And I'm going to just mention that we had four families submit information for new children from the past year. Just going to mention their names, and we're going to put an image on the screen, and we'll have a few words and a prayer. First, we want to welcome and celebrate the birth of Baker Allen Clapp, who was born November the 25th of 2019. Parents are Zach and Kieran. Big sister and brother are Landry and Shepherd. Baker's grandparents are Brock and Jane McMullen, and Leonard and son Clapp. Next, we want to celebrate the birth of Denver Joe Allen Steele, or DJ Steele, born on January the 29th of this year. Parents are Denver and Tara Steele. Big sister is Taylor. Grandparents are Marty and Tammy Smith, Bill and Bridget Milkey. Next, we want to celebrate the birth of Vivian Jean Downs. She was born in April the 6th of 2019. Her parents are Nathan and Ashley Downs, big sister Maddie and brother Zane. And finally, we celebrate the birth of Dax Bacon. Was born November the 14th of 2019. Parents are James and McKenna. Big brother is Carson. And I was told two furry sisters, Maybell and Maya, they're dogs. So we just celebrate the birth of these children this year. First Samuel chapter 1, 27 through 28 is an appropriate passage for new parent and baby dedication. There, Hannah prayed to God for a child, and God blessed her. And when that happened, she prayed, "I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord." This passage reminds us that children are a gift of God, and they are the greatest responsibility of a Christian parent. And that great responsibility is to give those sons and daughters back to God. And we dedicate our children to God through our love, our teaching, our example, our commitment to the church, and through much prayer. The Apostle Paul reminded Timothy of his spiritual foundation in 2 Timothy 3:15. And he said, "Remember how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." As Christian parents, it is your responsibility to teach your children to know and love God and to make them wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. As a congregation, it is our responsibility to support these young families through our prayers and our encouragement, as well as our commitment to children's and youth and educational ministries. So it's a team effort. And on that note, let's just take a moment and have a prayer of dedication. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we just take a moment and we just pray a blessing upon Baker and DJ, Vivian and Dax. We thank you for their young lives. And Father, we pray that you would watch over them. Just direct them. We pray, God, that as they grow, they would also gain insight into who you are, and they would become wise for your salvation. Father, we pray wisdom for these young parents, that you would just help them and just guide them. Parenting is so challenging. It's especially challenging these days today. Give them wisdom. And I pray that, Father, as a congregation, we could rally around them and give them the support that they need. As they seek to raise children like Hannah did many years ago, children devoted to the Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I thought I would share with you a favorite story today as we begin. A young man was walking through a supermarket going to pick up a gallon of milk when he noticed that an older woman was following him around. And really thought nothing of it. He ignored it and he continued on. And he finally got up to the checkout line, but this same older woman got in front of him in the line. "Pardon me," she said. I'm sorry if me staring at you has made you feel uncomfortable. It's just that you look just like my son, and I haven't seen him for a very long time." "That's a shame," said the young man. Is there anything that I could do for you?" "Yes," the woman said, as I'm leaving, would you be willing to say goodbye, mother, as I leave? It would make me feel so much better." And he said, "Sure, I'd be happy to do that." And so as the older woman was leaving the store, the young man called out, "Goodbye, mother," and he waved. And he got up to the checkout counter, and as he did, he stared in disbelief because his bill totaled $127. "How can this be?" this angry man questioned. I just got a gallon of milk." And the cashier replied, "Well, your mother said you would pay for her bill." Happy Mother's Day. The Bible says that we are to honor our fathers and mothers. And one way that we honor our mothers and our grandmothers, our wives and our spiritual mothers is to say thank you today. It's a real blessing to me that I can say thank you to many special ladies in my life. Probably all will be watching this broadcast today. To my mother, Cheryl, who's been a wonderful mother and an outstanding grandmother, to my two daughters. To my wife, Tracy, an amazing, strong, and loving mother. To our daughters, Holly and Shelby. To my mother-in-law, Luann, who's been a good friend and incredibly supportive to me, and also a wonderful grandmother to my daughters. To my sister, Becky, I have great admiration for her love and devotion to her three children and three grandchildren and her two dogs. And I appreciate Becky because she's like one of the three people that really appreciates my sense of humor. I also want to say a thank you to the many spiritual mothers that have been a part of the different churches that I've served over the years, including RCC. It's such a great blessing to me and my ministry and to my family. So who are you thankful for today? Who is mother to you today and who do you honor? I encourage you to express appreciation to your mothers or to that mother figure in your life today. Now, in honor of our mothers, our wives, our grandmothers, our spiritual mothers today, for the next few moments, we're going to focus on love. This morning, we're continuing the series, Standing on the Promises of God. And today, we're going to be considering one of the great promises of the Bible that we find in 1 Corinthians 13, the promise that love never fails. Love never fails. And if you want to go ahead and open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 13, and as you begin to do that, as you locate that passage, I want to ask this question. What is love? What is love? The world is confused by love. It's a word that is worn out and overused. We love the Colts. We love pizza. We love our favorite television show. We love our phones. We love movies like Frozen 2. I heard Kevin say that the other day. According to the world, love is a feeling, an emotion. In popular culture, it's romanticized and sexualized. Often, love is nothing more than just the warm fuzzies that can pass with time. I remember as a child giving a girl that I liked a note that said, "Do you love me? Will you circle yes or no?" I was a true romantic. As an aside, I'm very appreciative that many years later, Tracy would circle yes, and that approach worked with her. For the world, love is sentimental feelings or physical attraction. But the Bible has a different understanding. In the Bible, love is more about behavior and commitment, more than romance and feelings. Love is best expressed through unselfish actions and verbs. To quote the Apostle Paul, love is a way. It's a lifestyle. It's a guiding principle for how we live our lives. It's the highest Christian virtue. And we need love right now, don't we? As life in the coronavirus world drags on, all of us are having moments of frustration and fatigue, irritability. Stress is running high. Patience is running low. Someone sent me this meme the other day. You've probably seen it. It said, day 35 of the quarantine, and it's a wife kind of scowling at her husband. Could you blink a little bit more quietly, she said. It's a stressful time. It's an appropriate time to be reminded of the role that love plays in the Christian life. And the Bible's most complete description of the nature of love and the love's character is found in 1 Corinthians 13. Let's read that now. And yet I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men or angels but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I can give all that I possess to the poor and go over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. These are beautiful, familiar words. These words are ideal to frame and maybe put on the wall of a house in your house. We've probably heard these words recited at weddings. That's certainly appropriate. But the Apostle Paul did not have households or marriages in mind when he penned these famous words. Paul offered these words to the church. Paul explains that this is how Christians are to love one another within the context of the church. The Corinthian church was in conflict. Christians were fighting and disagreeing with one another over who was more spiritual, which is so ironic because it's such an unspiritual thing to do. There were some Corinthian Christians that believed that if they had certain spiritual gifts, well, then they were more important than others. And these misguided Christians were filled with pride in their gifts of the Spirit. This spiritual pride caused them to look down smugly on others in the church. So in short, the Corinthian church was a mess. And what remedy did Paul prescribe for this fragmented church? Paul prescribes love. Often, love is the only force that can heal wounds, that can ease hurt feelings. The Corinthians had forgotten God's design for the church, that the church would be a community of love. In their pride and division, they were not loving God, and they were not loving their neighbor. And so the Apostle Paul begins 1 Corinthians 13 by warning these quarreling Christians that every spiritual gift minus love equals nothing. All of our gifts and our talents and our abilities matter little without love. Without love, our religion is cold and ineffective. Paul would say to us this morning, you know, we can have great talent as a church. We can present meaningful services. We can lead stirring music. We can teach the Bible faithfully. We can offer outstanding youth and children's ministries. We can have programs that minister to people's needs. But none of it really matters if we fail in loving one another. Paul reminds us this morning that love is what is most important in the church. Love should be the defining characteristic of our lives as Christians. Love is the most excellent way for the believer. Have you ever gone to the grocery store and you're thinking you're just going to buy one item, and maybe your spouse has given you a list and you're supposed to get that one thing, but you forgot what you purchased because you got distracted by other things? Imagine your spouse tells you to stop by the store on the way home just to pick up a loaf of bread. It's not hard to imagine. But as you walk into the store, you see a cereal display. So you pick up your favorite cereal. But you're not sure you have milk at home. So you make your way to pick up a gallon of milk. And as you pick up that gallon of milk, the milk stirs in your mind one of God's greatest gifts to humanity, Chips Ahoy cookies. And so you go and you get the cookies, and as you journey to the snack aisle, you pass the freezer section and you get ice cream. And then you think, boy, coffee would really taste good with cookies and ice cream. So you go to where the coffee is and you pick up Maxwell House Colombian. And within a few minutes, you have everything that you might possibly need for a happy, fulfilled life. And you check out and you go home, and your wife asks, so where's the bread? And you go back to the car, and you go back to the grocery store, and you pick up the bread. You purchased everything but the main thing. You forgot the one essential item. You forgot the bread. The Apostle Paul would say to the church today, don't forget the bread. Don't forget what is most essential in the Christian life. Love is what is most important in the church. The pandemic can't even touch it. Love remains. The Bible says, above all, we are to love one another deeply. So what does it mean to love as God intends? Let's just take a moment and reflect on the characteristics of love presented in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. These are verses that can be applied to friendships, to parenting, to marriages, any kind of relationship, including relationships in the church. And so Paul begins, love is patient. Love is patient. It's a love that allows someone to make mistakes, to learn and to grow. It's a love that waits and supports. It's a love that shows grace. Love is kind. It's a love that actively finds ways to care. It's a love that practices the golden rule, a love that blesses. Paul goes on, love does not envy, boast, and is not proud. It's a love that is not jealous, but is content. It's a love that is not about me. It's a love that is humble and demonstrates the Spirit of Christ. Love is not rude. A love that is welcoming and accepting. A love that makes a good impression. A love that is warm and gentle. Love is not self-seeking. It's a love that isn't selfish. A love that puts the needs of the other in front of our own. A love that gives without expecting anything in return. Love is not easily angered. Real love does not have a short temper. It's a love that is patient and empathetic. A love that seeks to listen and understand. A love that is honest about our shortcomings. It goes on and says, love does not keep a record of wrongs. Boy, that's a tough one. It's a love that doesn't keep score. A love that releases grudges and hard feelings. A love that forgives. A love, like the Bible says, that covers over a multitude of sins. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It's a love that sees the good in people, a love that celebrates others' successes, a love that rejoices in God's love for all people. And finally, Paul says, love always protects, trusts, hopes, and perseveres. It's a love that is safe, a love that never loses sight of the possibilities, a love that never looks back, never gives up, never loses faith, never loses hope. It's an amazing thought to me that the Apostle Paul first wrote this stunning description of love for the church. These qualities and attributes should describe the kind of love that we have for one another within the family of God, including with the people that you're watching and participating in this service with today. But we can certainly apply this passage to other areas in life, other relationships. Many families need to rediscover the most excellent way of 1 Corinthians 13. Many children are very disrespectful toward their parents. Many moms and dads are eagerly angered. They're not very patient or kind. Too many relationships are one way. They're self-centered. It's about what we can get out of it. The love chapter has the power to transform our acquaintances into deep, abiding friendships governed by brotherly and sisterly love and devotion. Do you want a great marriage? Start by practicing the action love that Paul describes in 1 Corinthians 13. It's this kind of sacrificial love that can heal and restore a broken marriage. This kind of eternal love can reinvigorate a marriage relationship that has been stuck in neutral for too long. So how might we apply Paul's description of love to this time of a pandemic, to this time of quarantine? Love might be expressed, as we talked before, about maybe calling on someone to check on them, or maybe just to say, I was thinking about you, I love you. Love might be expressed by offering forgiveness to someone who has hurt you. We've all been reminded that life is fragile and short. We need to forgive. It might be expressed by reaching out to old friends and restoring relationships. I've had a chance to do that numerous times in recent weeks. It's been just a great blessing to me. Love might be expressed by apologizing to someone that you were maybe impatient with or unkind to. We may show love, loving our neighbor in incredibly practical ways right now. Maybe we go out and we shop for someone. I've heard that so many times. It's such an encouragement to some of the older people or maybe people that have poor immunity. It could take the form of social distancing or even wearing a facial mask for a little while longer while we're in public. You know, it's incredibly awkward. I understand that. And yet, I try to keep in mind that I'm doing this for the people around me. I'm doing this for the people that I love when I go home. One of my favorite quotes about love is attributed to Mother Teresa. She said, not all of us can do great things, but we can all do small things with great love. What act of love can you do this week to bless and encourage someone during this challenging and stressful time? Often we'll have a candle burning in our home. And it's amazing to me how just a tiny little candle can fill up the house with a beautiful aroma. I love it when Tracy burns candles around holidays, maybe the fall season, maybe Christmas. You walk into the house and it just smells like the holidays. 1 Corinthians 13 is like a beautiful fragrance of a burning candle. It has the power to transform the environment of our homes and our families, our workplaces, our churches, and our lives through the beautiful aroma of Christ-like love. I want to close with the special promise found in 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 8 promises, love never fails. Love never fails. The Apostle Paul concludes this memorable description of love by teaching that Christian love never fails. It never ceases. It never dies. As Kevin said earlier today, it's eternal. In the final verses of this great chapter, Paul teaches that spiritual gifts will cease in eternity. Their God-given purpose was to help us grow and mature in spirituality in this life. In heaven, we will have reached a place of complete spiritual maturity and holiness. When completeness comes, Paul says, what is in part disappears. Even though faith and love are part of the top three of the greatest of Christian virtues, the great triad of Christian character, they too will cease in eternity. We will no longer need faith because we will see the living God with our own eyes. And hope will be a thing of the past because we will dwell in the presence of the object of our hope, God Himself. Our hope as Christians will be fully realized. And now we see only as a reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. But there is one Christian virtue and one Christian way of life that will continue throughout all eternity, and that is love. All relationships in heaven will be characterized by perfect divine love, love for God and love for one another. You want to begin preparing for love today, for heaven today, I mean. If you want to begin preparing for heaven, why not start by loving the people that are around you today? A Jewish rabbi described heaven and hell this way. One day a man said to God, God, I would like to know what heaven and hell are like. And God showed the man two doors. Inside the first one, in the middle room, was a large table, and on top of that, a large pot of stew. It smelled delicious, and the man's mouth began to water. But the people sitting around the table looked thin, frail, and sickly. They appeared to be famished. They were holding spoons with really long handles. Each found it possible to reach into the pot of stew and to take a spoonful, but because the handle was so much longer than their arms, they could not get the spoons back into their mouths. The man shuddered at the sight of their misery and their suffering. God said, "You have seen hell." Behind the second door, the room appeared exactly the same. There was a large round table, and on top of that, a large bowl filled with stew. And the stew smelled so wonderful it made the man's mouth water again. The people still had these long-handled spoons, but they all looked nourished and plump, laughing and talking. And the man said, I don't understand. And God smiled and he said, it's simple. Those in hell are governed by selfishness and greed. They think of only feeding themselves, which is impossible. But in heaven, all are fed well because all follow a more excellent way. Before they think of themselves, they feed one another because they are governed by love. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for just being able to gather today and to hear your word and to allow your living and active word to work in our lives and to change our hearts and our minds. Father, I pray that we would take this message to heart. I pray, Father, that love would be the defining characteristic of our lives. Forgive us for being unloving. Help us truly, God, to be a people of love, to reflect your love to the world around us and to those that are closest to us today. And we thank you, Father, that you didn't just talk about love, but you showed us what love is through Christ. He gave up his life for us so that we could have eternal life with you. We thank you for such wondrous love. And we pray this in your name. Amen.